hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for this afternoon hour and the opportunity that was given unto us to come together for another chance to look into thy word. And Lord, we pause as we are to open thy word to thank thee for thy presence here in this afternoon, to thank thee for the word that is before us, and a prayer, O Lord, that thou would help each one of us to open our hearts to thy living word, that we would find comfort and strength, and Lord, reprimanding and whatever it is that we need, O Lord, to bring us to a closer walk with thee. So bless our gathering, O Lord, all who have come. We thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Difference for this afternoon's reading and meditation. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And with God's help, we begin with verse 32 through 43. Luke 23, 32 to 43. Želim nađe iz Evanđelja po Luci 23. glava, 32. broj do 43. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. God bless our... Dear ones, we have a portion of scripture that we read together here was really a focus on the crucifixion, but on those also who were crucified with Jesus, and that is the two thieves. And we see at this moment that man has reached really this is the high watermark of man and his guilt and his sin. They took the Lord of glory, sinless, perfect, without any fault, and they put him on a cross. And he died a gruesome death. But we also see that this moment is the high watermark also of God's grace. We see God working, and we see the first work of what had taken place, a day that Abraham saw. He saw this day in his time. David also saw it. Job saw it. Men of God saw Jesus Christ as it is written here. It tells us there were two malefactors that were led with him to be put to death. We know there was supposed to be one more, Barabbas, but he was let free. And they took Jesus and put him on the cross. They crucified him. Just Luke here just says, and they crucified him at Calvary. One on the right, one on the left were the thieves that were placed with him. And Luke records that in the heart of Jesus there was, we read this morning of what is in the heart of man, the things that defile a man, the evil that is in a man, the blasphemy and all the ugliness of sin that is in the heart of a man. And we see what is in the heart of Jesus as it comes out, and that is nothing but pure love. For he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is at a moment when there was none of his disciples were even with him. They scattered. There was no one to say a word that would in any way be an attempt to point out who this is that is being led away to Calvary. Everyone had forsaken him. He was all alone. And the love that is in his heart comes out. And he utters a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Both of these thieves, both of them were earlier, it tells us in the other Gospels, that they were railing against him. But here, after this was said, it tells us that one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other one who looked upon Jesus, he realized his own sin had put him there. What he was there for was for his sin, what he did. And so it was a just thing. He knew the law. He knew that if he were to live the life that he lived, that he would be crucified for his deeds if he were to get caught. And he did. And he says, we're going to die justly. In other words, what we have coming to us, we deserve. For he says, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And so he came to his senses. Was it this prayer that had triggered that? When he saw nothing but love coming from the heart of the one who he himself was just mocking. He saw all the religions of the world, all the politics, all everything was converging that came together to crucify this Jesus. And he is the lone voice that speaks out on his behalf. He said, this man has done nothing amiss. We see that it says the people stood beholding, the rulers, they all derided him. He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The two thieves that were with him had to have heard of Jesus. Perhaps they heard some of his preaching. They must have heard of the miracles that he had performed, because why would they be asking him, save us also? Was it because of the superscription that was written, this is the king of the Jews? The Jews hated that Pilate wrote that, but he wouldn't change it. But the one thief recognized his own sin. And that is the first thing that one must come to the realization of before he can be saved, is to realize his own sin, his own failings, as this thief does here. And he turns to Jesus and he says, Lord. So he calls him Lord. He crowns him. He crowns him as the Lord of the universe, the Lord of his Lord. He crowns him in his own heart. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He believed that there was going to be a resurrection. And he believed that Jesus, after his death, was going to go into his kingdom. And he says, when you get there, remember me. No, I'm not worthy, but remember me. He saw the love that came out of the heart of Jesus, praying that these who are all have converged together against him would find forgiveness, would come to the realization of their lost state, and to repent, and God would forgive. And Jesus looks to him and says to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Suddenly, the thief who is guilty, he found mercy, he found forgiveness. And he had a promise that as soon as this is over, today, you're going to be with me. He said that to one thief. Where was Barabbas in this? He was the one that was supposed to be hanging there. Did he stick around or did he bolt out of there happy just to be freed? But we see through this story here of events that were taking place, we also can look into our own hearts, our own lives, these men were living their lives knowing, because we see here that they knew. Knowing that what they were doing was wrong, and knowing that the just reward for their deeds was death. And for you, our dear friends, you know just as these thieves did, you know that your life, if it continues in the course that it is on right now, you know that you are living in sin. Jesus came to save you from your sin. And you know that if you continue in the same road that you are on, that the just reward for your sin is death. It's separation from God. It's eternal hell and torment. It's the right thing. Why? Because you heard of this Jesus. And you didn't do what this thief did. You didn't crown him as your Lord. You didn't have the faith to believe that Jesus can save you from your sin. But it takes a recognition. It takes a moment to stop. And when we read this, dear ones, you can also think, well, we have a story here of a man who died. And in his dying, he was able to repent. So maybe I'm going to live to be able to, in my dying, be able to repent and continue to live a life that rejects him, knowing full well that condemnation is yours. But dear ones, don't comfort yourself with those thoughts, because we see there on the cross there were two thieves. There's two. One that same day, when he died, Jesus met him. Jesus met him and he took him to paradise. He said, "You will be with me in paradise today." What happened to the other thief? Where is he? Here is a wonderful example of a man who is saved by faith. Dear ones, if we ever feel that we can do something to work our way into heaven, this should wake us up and show us there's nothing we can do. We are saved by faith. We are saved by grace. And there's nothing that we can do other than believe, as this man did. Because we see here, this man did nothing. There's not one good deed that he did. He never even gave anyone a cold glass of water. He did nothing. He didn't need to. He didn't need to. Why? Because his life was required of him right then and there. But we know that because of Jesus saw this man's faith, heard his plea for mercy, Jesus knew his heart, knew the thoroughness of his repentance, and he told him, "Your faith has saved you. It's your faith that saved you. You're going to be with me today in paradise." And that is what we also, dear ones, need to ask and pray for, that our faith would increase to that level where we would simply crown our Lord and our God, enthrone him in our heart. There's nothing we need to do. Of course, being saved and being full of his Spirit and being thoroughly purged of the things that were in our heart that we read of this morning, those awful things that are written about the heart and the condition of a man, being purged of all those things and being indwelt by this Holy Spirit of God, we will do the things that show that we live a life in Christ. We don't do it to be saved. We do it because we are saved. And because the life that is lived in the flesh is no longer dear to us, we live no longer therein. And so again, it's not those things. If we ever want to do something because God will see what I do, it means nothing. Because we know the word tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do that we could be looked upon as this man merits to be saved. Look what he's done. But a life in Christ is filled with good works. Because we see here a heart of love. Everyone turned against him. For what? For what? We've all felt at some point, sometime, where someone just gives us an evil eye or just is not very nice to us, and we might just sit there and wonder, why? What did I do? Everyone turned against Christ. Everyone. And what came out from him is love. And that woke the thief up, made him come to his senses. This thief didn't have what you have here today, our dear friends. A comfortable place to come and sit and just sit and listen. And to read about Jesus, to read about his love, to read about what he did for you, to save you. He came to die for you so that you don't have to. This thief didn't have those comforts. He's on a cross in excruciating pain. You're surrounded by those who love you, who pray for you. This was not a very popular thing, what he was about to say. No one there, not one could be found to speak on behalf of Jesus. Not that he needs anyone, but there's no one there to say anything. And here, this man realizes his lost state. And he deserves it. He deserves it, but he knows that he is that in his presence is Jesus, one who will give him something that he does not deserve. He doesn't deserve his mercy. He doesn't deserve this paradise that he is asking for. He doesn't deserve anything. But he knows that this Jesus is God himself who came down. He was a Jew. This man was a Jew too. He heard of Jesus. But he chose to live a different life, away from God, away from his teachings. And one came to his senses, and one never did. How many are the opportunities that will be given to you to sit as you're sitting here today? How many more opportunities does it take, will it take? You're going to be one of the two thieves. You're going to either go to hell or you're going to go to paradise in heaven with Jesus. And there's only one way to go to heaven with Jesus, and that is to recognize him, recognize your sin, recognize him, crown him as your Lord and your God, as Thomas did, as this man did. And Jesus has this promise, verily I say unto thee. Who's speaking? God. I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The gruesome death on that cross for that thief is suddenly hearing this promise is suddenly something that he no longer dreads death, the thought of it, what he deserved, what he knows is on the other side that is awaiting him. He knows that, but it's not there for him. There's mercy, love being given to him. Undeserving. And so, dear ones, in this day, as we read this, he tells the other thief, dost thou not fear God? Seeing that thou art in the same condemnation, don't you fear God? How come this one thief, they were thieves together. They lived in sin together. One is repented. He is sorry for what he has done. God saw that change in his heart. That's all God needed to see. This man, as a matter of fact, was never even able to go back and to give back that which he stole. He had zero opportunity for anything, but Jesus saved him thoroughly. Because he recognized, and he says, "Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for receive the due rewards of our deeds." And the man never saw it. He never came to repentance. Why? Why not? That's a good question. We would look at this and say, well, why didn't, if that's all it took, why didn't he just do it? Well, why don't you just do it? Why? What is it that is in this life that is so alluring, so attractive, and so demanding of your heart, on your heart, that this is what you want? Knowing that you are condemned, knowing that when you die, you will be in eternal torment and hell forever. When a million years goes by, you just started. Forever. For what? We all have to ask ourselves, what is there in this life that is worth eternal hell's fire? Why? Why couldn't this one have come and repent? Was it not given to him? Why wasn't it given to him? He railed on Jesus. If you are Christ, save yourself and save me. Isn't that what man does today? In sin, demanding that God save him in his sin. God is a God of love. God loved. God would never do that. God, if he is God, if he is so much, so loving, he is going to save me in my sin. Jesus came to save us from our sin. It's when everything is in this life is more attractive than purity, holiness, love. This man's life, the last moments of it are shown. He has faith. He has a hope. Jesus told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He has a hope now. That as he goes through the remainder of his moments in life, he has a hope now. He expresses his faith. He has a hope. And dear ones, what reigns forever, we know, is love. And so that is what Jesus is asking of each one of us today, to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, heart, and soul. Love him. And in that love for him, dear ones, we will not love sin. We will flee from sin. And we see what Jesus does. We read this morning of the woman who had begged for him to cast that devil out of her daughter. And Jesus didn't turn her away. He did. He did what was being asked. There's no one that ever asked anything from him that didn't receive it. Except when we demand on him, make a demand on him as this one thief did. Save yourself and save us. Well, Jesus did come to save us. But what it requires from us is a going to the cross where he went, dying to ourselves, loving him, having our hope in him, living for him. And Jesus promises us that we will be with him in paradise. And so all of us today, dear ones, are going to make a decision. We will make a decision right now. What are we going to do? And we're going to say, well, what do you mean, am I making a decision? Yeah, because whatever we do is a decision that we have made. If we continue in sin, so that grace may abound, God forbid. God forbid that we would make that decision. But if we make the decision, and that's what this man was really asking for, forgive me as I continue in sin. But the thief that was saved said, I lived a life that was wrong. It was full of sin, but now I want to live for you. Remember me. So may we, as we make that decision right here, right now, may God be with us in those thoughts. So the decision we make would be one that when we close our eyes to this life, we would open them to Jesus. Amen.